I suspect that it's been a few years since some, or perhaps many of us, have been in a live in-person church service on Palm Sunday. And so I felt a little bit of excitement building up in me this week, and even more as I came to the church for the 8 o'clock service this morning, and again preparing for this service. And so our gospel reading from Matthew this morning is one of those big crowd scenes that we hear about during Holy Week. And we got to be a part of it. And what a crowd scene it would have been. The population of Jerusalem was somewhere between 40 and 60,000 people at that time. And it was a festival time with the observance of Passover coming up. So even more people were in town to be at the temple. Some people said that there might be upwards of 100,000 people at that time. And there were even more people in town, uninvited visitors. The Roman occupation was in full force. Expecting trouble, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, was in town so he could take personal command. He would have entered in majesty, perhaps riding his horse, or on a chariot, in a show of worldly political force intended to impress and to intimidate. But now Jesus is about to arrive. He asks for two of his friends to go ahead to get a donkey and a colt, a baby donkey, for him to ride on. And here we see a different display of power. The disciples only have to say that the donkey and colt are for the Lord, and the owners would willingly give it to them, or give them to them. Knowledge of Jesus' power and authority has gone ahead of him. And then we hear a description that contains an interesting turn of phrase that only happens in Matthew's gospel. Maybe you heard it. It says this: they brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. There's much speculation about what that could possibly mean. It's unlikely to mean literally what it says, that he sat both on the colt and the donkey at the same time. But maybe in a way he does. Because Matthew's description of the donkey and colt fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah that Matthew repeats for us in the text. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Who is the daughter of Zion? Well, that's a longtime name for the city and the people of Jerusalem. Jesus' arrival on the donkey and the colt was a clear sign to the people of Jerusalem that he was the promised Messiah, a king and a savior. So Jesus is arriving humbly in Jerusalem, at least with as much humility as you can, when people are singing and chanting and laying branches and cloaks on the road ahead of you. People recognize that he is someone special, because that kind of entrance was specifically for royalty. And so we join the crowd. The crowd and the disciples and we were all praising God, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. I actually only learned a couple of days ago what Hosanna actually means. It means save us now. Save us now. And being called the Son of David is another sign of his royalty. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus is being hailed as the Savior coming in the name of the Lord. And later on in the service, we too will again proclaim him as the Savior, using almost identical words. Jesus is seen as having God with him, which is a very powerful statement. That's a different kind of power from that of Pontius Pilate, isn't it? Pilate's power is based on intimidation and fear, on earthly ways. Jesus' power is based on peace and on God's ways. He's riding in on a humble foal and a donkey, and the people are proclaiming him as a king of a different kind. But Jerusalem at Passover was dangerous. It was dangerous. It was well known to both Caiaphas, the high priest, and to Pilate that the festivals were likely times of uprisings. They see a group of people marching and shouting and singing, potential trouble. And we actually heard it in Matthew's text. The whole city was in turmoil. Now, some of that crowd, of course, was made up of Jesus' followers. Others were likely people who had heard of Jesus' teaching and who thought that he was going to disrupt the Roman government and maybe the Jewish religious structure, potentially through open, violent rebellion. Some of those people thought that Jesus and God were on their political side. Jesus and God were on their political side, mirroring their own beliefs. Does that sound familiar at all to us today? And yet others were likely curious or drawn into what promised to be a lively event, and we'll maybe put lively in air quotes there. So how do we fit into this story? Perhaps some of us were persuaded to come to church this morning and we're along for the walk. Some of us are curious to see what's going on with Jesus, having heard about him and his message, and are interested in learning more. Some of us are longtime followers of Jesus and want to be with him in every way that we can. And some of us might be wondering how Jesus can help us to get ahead with whatever cause we believe in, perhaps remaking Jesus in our own image. But back in Jerusalem, some of those people cheering on Jesus' entry into the city will, in a few days, also be calling for his death, saying, Jesus didn't measure up, so let's get rid of him. And some people in authority will also want to rid themselves of a person who is thought to be trouble, who challenges their ways. That also seems uncomfortably familiar, even to us today. So through this Holy Week and into Easter Day, we will walk with Jesus through the story of his arrest for proclaiming revolutionary love, revolutionary peace, revolutionary justice, revolutionary grace. We've heard of all of those things over the last few Sundays in the Gospel readings. We will walk with him to his death on the cross, his punishment for proclaiming those sorts of revolution and for disrupting the easy existence of some of those in authority. And we will walk or even run with the disciples as we hear of Jesus' resurrection, his victory over darkness and despair. In a few moments, we'll be sharing in the Eucharist, having a meal with those walking with us today. We might be here for different reasons, maybe the first time ever, but we're walking with Jesus, we're walking with each other, and sharing our experiences. And so, together today, we pray that we're enabled to help each other on that way and to help each other to find the way of the cross, which is a way of life and of love. Amen.